From the short tracks to the super speedways, from two wheels to four wheels, it's Revved Up ATX on the Horn with Bobby Chaffee and Rodney Rodriguez. Presented by AMM Collision. This is where Austin talks racing.
Revved Up ATX on the Horn is your Saturday's roll on, your Saturday morning lineup. It's time for horsepower. And this is the week, Bobby, we have been waiting for so long. We got to get Dover out of the way. And then it is full-blown ATX NASCAR week. Do you ever think we'd say that?
No, not
it's
ever.
It's crazy.
Well, I mean, I thought about it when they built COTA the first time. I was like, wouldn't it be cool if they ever have a NASCAR race here? But it's a Formula One track. They'll never run NASCAR here. Plus, you got two races at Texas Motor Speedway. I never thought we'd have the NASCAR race at COTA, but boy, I was wrong. And I'm happy to say for once, I was happy I was wrong.
Yeah, no doubt. Showtime, Bobby Chaffee, John Reichel behind the glass, Rodney Rodriguez, check in with us, 337-3776. We will 101 you, NASCAR 101 you to death this week, because there's going to be a lot happening. And thanks to AMM Collision and Busch Light for coming aboard. We'll have stuff on site. We'll have stuff on the Horn YouTube page, the Horn app, hornfm.com. That's going to be the place to go. It's just so much content, because this is going to be a week where, unlike when Formula One comes to town, Formula One comes to town and it gets busy about Saturday. When NASCAR comes to town, it gets busy about Wednesday evening is when things start happening.
It does. I mean, generally, if the weather was much better and a lot of the
forecast is worrying, forecast is worrying me a little bit.
Well, it worries me until Friday.
Yeah,
I think it'll be okay past Friday, but
yeah.
The weekend's looking better. But, I mean, you know, think about the buzz that Formula One had when it first came. Of course, that was pre-COVID and all of that. Granted, the COVID restrictions are somewhat lifted for this race weekend, for the best we can tell. But, I mean, I can imagine if it was a full-blown pre-COVID race, I mean, you'd be having them at the Broken Spoke all week.
Absolutely.
I mean, it'd be unreal. So lots of stuff to look forward to in 2022, but we got to get the first race in 2021 out of the way first.
We'd be talking about it starting Monday if we didn't have all the restrictions going on. But this show is really going to be an example of what we're going to be bringing you this week. Coming up at the bottom of the hour at 11:30, we're going to talk to Spencer Boyd, who drives on the Truck Series. He is actually he's on the track right now. He's on the track right now. He's set to call us, and we'll get a little bit of a preview right there. We haven't talked to anybody that's been in a truck on that racetrack. We have to talk about all the Texans that are going to be in that race as well. And then coming up here in this first segment, we're actually going to talk to here in just a couple of minutes. We'll talk to Sam Hunt. He's a team owner over on the Xfinity side. And then the Boot the Band folks. We'll talk to Chris Swanger as well, as they're going to be doing stuff at COTA. And that'll be something that I think our listener base will really want to jump on. We'll explain that here in just a second. Already the text line is we're getting stuff. You know it's race week. I'm a NASCAR fan, not a F1 fan. Let me get back to that. Can you tell me the best place to sit on the berm with general admission? COTA. And that's the thing. We'll get this posted, because there's lots of, for one thing, big difference here, there's lots of places for free parking. There's three different lots of free parking at COTA for this NASCAR race. I would seriously say, if you're going to sit somewhere, Bobby, we sat in turn 19. Go sit there, because you have a lot. You have them coming down a long straightaway. There's some S's mixed up in there, and then they hit a really big turn. And that's where you're going to see. That's where you're going to see the rubbing is racing. You're going to see a lot of it right there. Plus, you're heading to the home stretch. You're a turn and a half away from the front stretch.
Yeah, no, it's a great spot to sit, because they've obviously got all the TV cameras, so the speaker system is really good there, so you can hear a lot of the speakers in turn 19. You can also see the top of the hill from turn 19, too, so that worked really good. You can see, I mean, granted, it's a little far away, but it's about as far away as it is when you see the backstretch at Texas Motor Speedway. If you're sitting on turn one, you've got to look kind of far away to see turn three. But you could see up the hill going into turn one some pretty good action right there. So we've actually been partial to turn 19 the whole time. But a lot of people love that, going up the hill, the GA spots going up the hill in turn one.
Yeah, and the long straightaway. I mean, if you just want to see speed coming right out of turn 11 down the backstretch, that is you'll see 200 miles per hour right there easily. The other thing to think about, just from a fan perspective with this, is like Bobby's talking about with TMS, you can move around a little bit right there. But the thing with COTA, when you're general admission in this spot, you can take chairs. We'll post a link to where there's questions you can ask. I mean, camping's available, tent camping, everything is right there. you can, with this, you can move around. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can sit in turn 19 for a little bit. If you want to go over to turn 5, if you want to see the S's, you can scoot over there. I mean, put your pedometer, put your Apple Watch on if you want to walk some steps, because you can make this a full-blown workout for 256 miles or whatever this race is.
Yeah, you definitely got to put your walking shoes on when you go to COTA, that's for sure. Especially if you want to just walk around. There's so much to do at COTA because it's such a unique place. It's big and it's got a lot of expansive stuff. I'm interested to see how the food stuff goes, like it does there during Formula One, seeing how many different food vendors they've got.
We'll get you some details on all of that, how all of that works. And once again, there's SMI has done a great job with fan questions there as to what you can and cannot do. Let's go to the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina Hotline as we get this rolling. One of the things that you're going to see if you make your way out to Circuit of the Americas, and you've probably seen Boot the Ban. You've seen the Boot the Ban campaign, and now we've got where you can get liquor to go. I mean, you can go over here to Vaqueros and get yourself, those famous margaritas. You can get those to go. But, man, I'm so old. I remember the Blue Laws when you went to HEB or a Piggly Wiggly, a Super S back in the day, and you had stuff that was marked off. You couldn't buy stuff on Sunday, and for some reason in Texas, you still can't buy. Liquor stores are closed. You still can't do that. There's a campaign going called Boot the Ban, and we've seen it. Chris Swanger joins us on the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina Hotline. Chris, how are you, man?
Hi, Rodney. How are you? Thanks for having me. On point with Boot the Ban.
Yeah, and that's for the life of me. And again, I don't want to appear that I enjoy alcohol and liquor a lot. I do, but how in the heck has this law stayed intact this long?
This comes back from the Prohibition years, and Texas is one of only 7 states that does not allow you to go to your package store and buy tequila for your margaritas on a Sunday. And so we've been working for some time now with the Texas legislature basically to ask for a local option so local jurisdictions can make a determination if they want to allow both the package stores, if they want to open, and distilleries. Get this, when you visit a distillery on a Sunday, you can visit that distillery, even participate in a tasting, mm-hmm. but you can't buy a bottle of distilled spirits from that distillery on a Sunday, and that is impacting small businesses in a big way. So that's what Boost the Ban's all about, and we need all the support that we can get.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm sure that there's a lot of it already. And I really like what you guys are doing, because also on the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina Hotline, we have Sam Hunt. And talk about from the trenches. Sam, you are at Dover right now.
Yeah. Hey, guys. I'm actually standing in between two transporters right now where a car just went to pit road, and we're gearing up for today's race, but wanted to hop on and talk to you guys.
So Sam, talk about Dover. Obviously, we're super excited here about COTA coming up. But Dover, the Monster Mile right there, that's a cool little joint right there. That's one of those old school, you know, horse track becomes a racetrack. That's a fun place to get race cars out on the track.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I raced myself for a long time and got to race in the Arca Menard Series and got to run here at Dover 3 or 4 times. And I tell everybody, you know, the first time I came here, first couple practice laps, I had to come down pit road because I forgot to breathe. it's such a fast track, and the banking is so steep in the corners that the G forces that are pushed on these guys here is kind of unlike any other track. So it's a beast of a racetrack. It's fast. It's hard to crash soft, which scares me as a car owner a little bit. But no, we've got John Hunter Nemechek racing today, who is driving for Kyle Busch in the truck series. So we're starting deeper than we'd like after our mishap in Darlington, but we're going to see how far John Hunter can push this thing.
Absolutely. So I really like what you guys have done, because we've got Chris and Sam both on the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina Hotline. Chris, you guys, to really get the exposure and to really get support with this huge event, worldwide event that we have coming up to COTA, you guys have partnered up with Sam Hunt Racing. Talk a little about how all that came to pass.
Well, we're really, really excited about the partnership because, something like this, part of it is raising awareness. So Sam Hunt Racing has given us the opportunity to put Boot the Band material on that great car, and we're excited about the big race next week. And really, over 65% of Texans say that they should be able to go a great bottle of distilled spirits at their retail store or at a distillery on a Sunday. You can get great beer and wine on a Sunday, but not distilled spirits. And Texas is a great free market state, and this is just one of those old blue laws that really undercut that. And, you know, as Texas has become so popular, people all around the country moving to the Lone Star State, it's really odd that on a Sunday, if they're putting a barbecue together and they want to make their favorite cocktail, that they can't run down to the local package store to make a quick purchase. So we're excited, and we're excited about partnering with Sam Hunt Racing as well. Next week's going to be a lot of fun.
So, Chris, what was it about the NASCAR appeal that made the Boot the Band want to be involved with the motorsports with Sam Hunt? Was it something with the demographics you saw with NASCAR? Or is it just something that with the big event at COTA made it seem like the right place to be to do the awareness campaign? Or was it a little bit of everything?
Yeah, high exposure. Beverage alcohol companies have partnered with NASCAR and Formula One for a long, long time. Now, look, we're always on the front side of responsibility, right? So, you know, it's important that people never drink and drive and, you know, enjoy cocktails responsibly. But it's just a great exposure, and it's going to be a lot of fun. We're in the closing days of the legislature here in the next couple of weeks. We think this will be just a great opportunity to get the word out. It's beyond ridiculous to think that the great state of Texas has a law on its books that you can't buy distilled spirits on a Sunday. Now, some retailers may not want to open on Sunday, and we get that, right? And that's their prerogative and their choice. But many other retailers certainly would like the opportunity. Sunday is the second greatest shopping day apart from Saturday, right? So it's just an opportunity for consumers of distilled spirits to be able to go get access to their favorite Texas bourbon or their favorite margarita mix and so forth. So we hope that in the waning days of this legislature, there's an opportunity to put this prohibition era type law, you know, and put it to bed and allow the free market to work its will. And Texas consumers who enjoy distilled spirits are certainly going to benefit as a result. And all of these businesses in these distilleries, small distilleries that have been navigating hard times through the pandemic, it'll give them another shopping day for consumers to try great craft distilled spirits products all over the great state of Texas.
Absolutely. Texas, only one of seven, as Chris talked about right there. That's really hard to believe when you really think about the progress that has been made with laws in the country. Sam, over to you. And talking about the exposure and the demographics here with NASCAR, I love your story, because when we talk about team owners, I mean, you see team owners and you've got Rick Hendrick, Richard Childress, all these guys over on the Cup side. You are a very young man. And it's a brand new, it's like the new wave that's come into the sport, where you have young, powerful individuals, both male and female, that are team owners and executive spots with NASCAR. Talk about your escalation up to becoming a team owner.
Yeah, it's taken off really fast. You know, I kind of, people ask me that all the time, and I kind of attribute it all to just surrounding myself with really good people that believe in me. You know, believe in how I work and how I'm going about building this company. You know, J.D. Gibbs, the late J.D. Gibbs, was a personal mentor of mine that, you know, was special to me. And I try to, you know, carry some of his, you know, leadership traits with how I'm building this company. You know, I think the Boot the Band and Chris and all those guys, you know, I think it was an instant, you know, yes, I need to do this. Because as a small business owner, well, that's becoming a little bit, you know, larger of a business.
Right.
It really hits home, you know, understanding how, you know, the ban on Sundays affects these small businesses and businesses everywhere. So, you know, I think seeing that they put responsibility and education at the forefront of their program, and then also just being a small business owner, for a business owner myself now, and putting myself in the shoes of those companies, you know, it was just something that I felt was the right thing to do. Chris and all of his people have just been so great to work with. They're just great people, you know, a great cause. You know, we've got a rookie going to Dakota next week with Chris Wright. So he'll be learning quite a bit. And hopefully, you know, he picks it up quickly. But I tell you what, we've got a beautiful number 26 Boot the Band Toyota Supra that's going in the trailer. It's just a one of the best looking cars I think we've ever been out of the race shop.
Oh man, cannot wait to see it. So guys, are there going to be Chris, is there going to be somewhere where you'll have something set up on site there at COTA where folks can come over? Is there possibly going to be opportunities to see Sam the car in advance other than having some sort of garage access? Anything in place for that as we move forward up to COTA week?
Yeah, there's actually, we're doing a show car event at Still Austin, the distillery, on Thursday leading up to the race. Where Chris will be there with the show car. You know, there'll be music. There'll be some booths set up, and you know, Chris will kind of get to interact. They'll be able to see the show car version of the 26 Supra out there. So they're going to have a good time. They're going to raise some awareness. Everybody's going to kind of get to meet Chris and see what we got going on. And then, you know, on the racetrack side, you know, there's still a little bit of restriction as far as access. But they did just open up a couple hot pass slots, so we're going to be able to bring some of the Discus guests to the garage with us and let them sit on the pit box and see this beautiful car up front.
Absolutely, looking forward to it, guys. Man, we'll try to work something up for Thursday. Would love to be a part of that with you guys. Let's get some more information exchanged and let us know how we can help, guys. Looking forward to it. I'm a fan of the cause. I am a fan of the cause. So best wishes, and we'll sync up this week.
One last pitch, if I may.
Sure.
If for anybody interested, text Boot the Band.
There we go.
To 52886, and that way you can get involved and let your legislatures know to get rid of this bad law.
Well said. Well said. Boot the Band of 52886. We will definitely be pushing that out on the social medias. Gentlemen, we appreciate it. Look forward to seeing you guys this week. It's an exciting time here in Austin, Texas.
Sounds great. Thanks, Rodney. Thanks, Sam.
Take care, guys. Chris Swanger and Sam Hunt. That's near and dear to a lot of NASCAR people.
It is. And to be able to go through and actually find a way to purchase your adult beverages, your distilled spirit beverages, that is, on a Sunday afternoon. He's right. Have you talked about how many times that you really wanted to have a margarita, but yet on a Sunday afternoon you realized that you didn't have any tequila?
Right.
And you were just out of luck?
Makes it tough. Makes it tough. Coming up, big moves in the NASCAR executive world at the end of the week. We'll tell you all about that. More COTA talk, and then we'll talk to a driver on the track right now at COTA. This is Revved Up ATX on the Horn. We're live, local, and digital, streaming on the Horn app and at hornfm.com.
Dropping the green flag on racing and motorsports coverage. It's Revved Up ATX, brought to you by AMM Collision on the Horn, where Austin talks racing.
Revved Up ATX on the Horn rolls on, and your Saturdays, 337-3776. Continue to check in on the Specs text line. We talk about Boot the Band, along there with Sam Hunt Racing. We remind you, this afternoon, join Aaron Hogan and Rod Babers at Moon Tower Saloon for an Austin FC watch party. The Horn crew will be on site from 2:30 through the end of the game, probably about 4:30. 350 Michelob Ultra Pints. That's a good price right there. Swing by and say hi to the guys. Watch Austin FC take on LA Galaxy. More details at hornfm.com. Austin FC, as they continue rolling. The matches just continue rolling. Very competitive. Very competitive early going here for Austin FC. Bobby, really surprised this week. At the end of the week, we hear a friend of the show. We've had him on many times. Eddie Gossage, president over at Texas Motor Speedway, and just the great work that he's done. And, I mean, for crying out loud, full transparency, a lot of this COTA race is the work of Eddie Gossage that we're about to embark on. Eddie Gossage, coming up at the end of the All-Star race coming up in June, Eddie Gossage will step away. Eddie Gossage says he's going to retire. This is a little bit of a shocker when I saw this.
It came as a total shock to me when you find out somebody that's a staple in motorsports, especially here locally. As you said, we've had him on the show multiple times and talked to him, and he even remembers our names when he talks to us, too. That's how good of a person that Eddie Gossage is. But it came as a shock to me when they said after the All-Star race. It's almost as if it came full circle, you know? I think his goal was to always try to get an All-Star race at Texas Motor Speedway, and I think he finally got it. Maybe he figured now's the right time to go. It looks like they're going to move some people around at SMI. We keep calling it SMI, you know, Speedway Motorsports. But, you know, if you notice in the press release, they did call it SMI.
Yeah, they did.
They did call it SMI.
And that really leads me to wonder, because we're seeing – I'm getting a little concerned. I was actually going to talk about this pit stop needs and notes, because we've got the – everything that's happening with trying to get Nashville, the fairgrounds, back up to par and get them at a major complex status once again. And I saw a town hall. I saw neighbors. And this is worrying me about Nashville. Because, of course, this is another situation where this track has been here for decades, and then a housing community comes in and moves around it, and suddenly the track is a nuisance, and it's been there 40 years longer than any of the homes. I think we're going to see we're at a point. We talked about the new car, but I think we're going to see more of this happening. I mean, I saw Daytona president. I think he's stepping away as well. So I think we may be seeing a lot of moving parts and pieces start to happen. Not only on the front side, but on the back side as well when it comes to NASCAR and the business in general.
Well, and it's not this. It's not that these executives are doing bad. I mean, Eddie Gossage has done incredible things for not only the facility at Texas Motor Speedway, but from NASCAR as a whole. I mean, basically, when Eddie comes up with an idea, somebody tells Eddie Gossage, well, that's not going to work. That's the most motivating factor for Eddie Gossage when he's like, oh, yeah? Well, let me show you. The Big Hoss TV, right? TMS, if you've ever been to Texas Motor Speedway and you see that gigantic TV, multiple revenue streams with that. Not only do you have it for a race weekend, but they've done drive-in movies and all kind of stuff with Big Hoss. They're on the backstretch. It's a beautiful television.
So that leads me. I had two questions when I saw that. Well, three. First, why? Number two, what does he do to go out with at the All-Star race? What does he have up that tailor-made shirt sleeve? And then the third question is, what's he really up to? and I got calls. My phone was ringing. It's like, is Eddie Gossage buying Coda? I'm like, I have no idea. But it makes you wonder, what's next? What's next?
And they, you know, the possibilities are endless. I mean, Eddie Gossage has all the PR experience behind him and everything else. Obviously, got the promotion stuff from Bruton Smith and Humpy Wheeler came out of that school of thought over there. So it's going to be surprising. There's always the chance that he could legitimately just be retiring, right? And that's what's so funny is Eddie Gossage has done such a good job. The first question you have is like, well, did he get pushed out? Did they have a regime change?
Yeah.
You know, what's going on? Is there something that we don't know about?
Yeah.
But, you know, there's always that minute possibility that the press release says he's going to retire. He might actually just go out and want to retire.
Maybe so. Maybe he'll do the Urban Meyer. I mean, go do TV. Maybe he'll also do the Urban Meyer, do TV, and come back. I mean, it's a lot of stress. I mean, it's a lot of stress. It's a full-blown business. And yeah, I mean, admit it, folks. I mean, when you see something like that, when somebody, you get a press release like that, your first question is, what did he or she do? You know, what's like with media that we see these days, it's like, okay, something's up. But, I mean, could very well be. I mean, there's this thing called burnout that will get you after a while. And mental health is important. I mean, and I'll be curious to see what happens. But before we get to Spencer Boyd coming up, don't want to cast any stones. We've got Indianapolis is fired up. We've got the Grand Prix coming up. Roman Grosjean on the pole for the IndyCar race today. That's not surprising. I saw a lot of folks, oh, my goodness. I'm like, dude, come on. He's an F1 guy. What's so surprising about this?
I don't know. I took it more of a surprise. Not because I don't think that he's a good driver. Obviously, the F1 cars and running on road courses and stuff like that are really important with the aspect of that series, but I'm surprised more with the team, the team aspect. That team, while they ran okay at the first couple of road courses at Barber and some of the other races, it didn't seem to be as competitive as it was when they roll up to Indianapolis and pop that thing on the pole.
Yeah, totally get it. Totally get it. And for that to happen, and again, we're watching it. I see a lot of run at Jimmy Johnson. I mean, I'm seeing pictures of Jimmy on the track. I'm seeing pictures of Jimmy walking through the paddock over there. I think he qualified 19th. But that is your vehicle right now, IndyCar. That is your guy. If you notice that Jimmy Johnson hate or the Jimmy Johnson this, that, and the other, why Jimmy Johnson everywhere, that's died down a little bit.
They toned it down some. But still, with the Carvana wants the most exposure they can get. Obviously, they did a promotion this past couple of weeks about designing the Jimmy Johnson paint scheme, or livery, as they call it over in IndyCar, designing the Jimmy Johnson paint scheme to be able to have that extra exposure again. So he's everywhere over there with Indianapolis, and the fact that he's not going to be racing and they've decided to pick him up with the TV coverage, that was a good move by NBC. But they're going to have a lot of diverse stuff. You've got the two most polarizing people in motorsports, Jimmy Johnson and Danica Patrick, are both going to be on the TV side there with the Indianapolis coverage on NBC.
That's going to be good stuff. Really good and intriguing stuff coming through the text line. And just to explain kind of the situation right here, with we were talking about Boot the Band and with Sam Hunt Racing. This is an agreement. This isn't anything. This isn't NASCAR. This isn't Circuit of the Americas. They are the sanctioning body and the venue of where this is happening. This agreement here, this is Chris Swanger's group. This is Sam Hunt. There's a sponsorship for this. That's why this is happening. I mean, it's not casting any ignoring any other very important issues like the ones that we're seeing here on the text line. It's not a fact of ignoring any of that. It's just that those two are collaborating to work on that. And I totally get the points on the text line. I get it. But this is a business venture between the two. Bottom line, this is what they're doing.
Yeah, the sanctioning body sometimes will disapprove sponsorships.
Right.
We've seen it in the past, but as far as it's not a code of promotion, they're actually just there with sponsoring of the race car and stuff like that. So that's two different highways going down. They may be going in the same direction, but two different highways.
Yeah, and we totally feel. I mean, the topics. I mean, there's discussions hitting the text line that need to be discussed, and they're terrible things there, and hopefully there's a way, an avenue to where that can come to the forefront and those can be brought to light and all of that, you know, handled in the way that it needs to be handled accordingly. Let's go back over to the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina Hotline on a busy, 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 busy Saturday morning, talking about COTA, talking about the Cup race. Oh, by the way, we've been telling you for 6 months or however long it's been, not only do you get Cup, you get Xfinity, and you get the Truck Series. We've got a gentleman that is like on the track today. I don't think he's on the track right now, but he has been on the track today. Familiar name to a lot of truck fans. It's Spencer Boyd. Spencer, how you doing, man?
I'm great. I'm at a racetrack, and I'm in my favorite state of Texas.
Absolutely, my man. Absolutely. So we've seen video. We've heard from guys in cars at COTA. How's it feel to be in one of those mother truckers out there on that track?
Well, I'm not in a truck actually today.
Oh, okay.
I got to wait till next week.
Okay.
So I'm just here getting some seat time in a car, but I can tell you, previous experience tells me those trucks, they're going to go fast in a straight line, but they're not going to want to turn.
That's right. That's exactly right.
So, Spencer, what's your first impression of COTA over there? Obviously, we've never been up onto the racetrack itself to race out there, but just it seems like it's like an aha moment when you pull up there. You're like, wow, this place is super nice.
Yeah, first off, I can't wait for my sponsor, Freedom Warranty, to get here. This facility has got to be one of the nicest on the NASCAR circuit now. And on the racetrack, super technical, really tight corners. So it's a blast out there. I think when you get 40 truckers out there, we're going to be beating the doors off that thing. But really fast and then some really slow sections, which I know is going to create some ticked off drivers. Could be a good race for the Texas fans.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say that y'all's race, Texas term, y'all's race is probably going to be the best one. It usually is on the weekend, but we'll follow that up. Spencer, how big is this for you guys on the inside of the sport? How big is it for you guys to, one, tap this new market and then hit this, you know, purpose-built world-class racetrack? How big is this for the sport and the industry in Austin?
Yeah, I think it's huge. You know, Texas is a really big market for NASCAR fans. And, you know, when I'm sending T-shirts out, it seems like I got a lot of fans here in Texas. But to race at a facility that was purpose-built for, you know, road course racing and F1 and just I feel like a lot of global eyes are on us. The fact that NASCAR is not just doing the Cup Series, they're doing those feeder series, the NASCAR Camp World Truck Series, the Xfinity Series. I think it's great. It's going to be awesome to get laps. We all want to make it to the Cup Series, so racing at these really nice facilities and following along is going to help us build our craft. And man, the weather here is great, so hopefully it holds off for next weekend.
Mm-hmm.
So, Spencer, let's talk about trucks itself in general, the series. It seems like with the pandemic, they kind of condensed everything and have you guys more running companion races with the cup cars. Does that make it easier on you as a race car driver because you get to kind of watch and see how the cup drivers are doing stuff? Or does that make it harder because you in the back of your mind, you're like, there's all these cup owners here. Maybe they'll see me and maybe they want to put me in a cup car.
Well, I think, whenever there's more eyes on you, that's great, but you definitely want to minimize your mistakes. And no practice has been a unique deal. Different case here at COTA. We're going to get an hour practice session next week, so I think that's going to be critical for everyone to have a successful weekend. But going to racetracks, that mean a little more. You know, those companion racetracks are really good. Obviously, like I said, we're all trying to get full-time cup racing. So to get those laps, they dropped a few tracks off the schedule. I don't want to name them. But I can tell you, there's a couple I don't miss.
yeah, absolutely. So the shift, because we are seeing, I mean, there's more road courses, and now the thought of street courses. I mean, we've heard Denver, we're here in Chicago, Mexico City, for crying out loud. I mean, our sport is definitely at a point to where we local short track people, we racing folks, as we talk about, it's we're kind of in a different world. Our sport is elevating and modernizing quite a bit here right before our very eyes.
Yeah, it's definitely changing. And, you know, growing up, I grew up road course, go-kart racing, and a lot of people in NASCAR thought that was a unique path or a unique start. But, you know, you take those lessons learned at a young age to really look through the corners and pay attention to, you know, what's coming up and getting a rhythm of getting through the S's. I think that helps a lot. Like you said, our sport's going to, you know, more dirt races, more road course races. So I think you're going to pull really successful drivers from different markets to NASCAR. And at the end of the day, I like NASCAR trying to get a larger fan base and make it to where, hey, maybe – this team's more successful here, and this team's more successful at dirt races. And at the end of the day, it creates a tighter points battle deeper throughout the field.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you go from preparing to the sport's oldest racetrack in Darlington to getting ready to be prepared for the race at COTA? Did you get to do any iRacing at COTA, or are you one of those iRacing guys since you don't get to practice in a qualifying?
I'd say I've become one of those iRacing guys. You're really just doing all you can to memorize these racetracks and familiarize yourself with, you know, points and markers on the racetrack. But Darlington, there's so much history there. You know, you go in the tunnel there, the excitement's high, abrasive racing surface, big tire fall off. It screams NASCAR. And then you come here and it's like, I don't know if I'm wearing nice enough clothes to get in this place. it's very different, but all in all, we're race car drivers, and at the end of the day, we got to adapt.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Spencer Boyd with us on the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina Hotline, revved up ATX here on your Saturday. You talked about Freedom Warranty, your sponsor. Obviously, that's a huge thing. I mean, you want good runs on the track. You want all of that for your sponsors. Sponsorship-wise, let's talk about that 2019 win at Talladega. I thought that was so cool because I heard thereafter that you run the race, you win the race, and that was one where when it came to sponsorship dollars, I mean, it was by the hair of your chinny chin chin getting the financing for that race to run that.
Yeah, you know, in this sport, sponsorship is key. You know, that's what it takes to keep us on the racetrack. And I've been fortunate enough to have a lot of people believe in me, give me the chance, and stick with me long term. And, you know, Alabama Roofing Professionals hooked me up for Dega 9 days before the race.
Wow.
We cut that deal, putting it together, and it worked out in the end. And that led to a lot more partners jumping on board and backing me for sure. And this weekend is a huge weekend. It's next weekend, more or less. It will be my 100th NASCAR race. So 14-year-old Spencer Boyd would never believe that. And
wow.
I have a lot of Texas companies. Bob's Container, we're right down the street. We're having a big event. We have Mitch Malloy from the Great White. We're doing a concert. And Texas Ranger Whiskey, Texas company on board, and Freedom Warranty, like you said. So it takes a list of partners to make this happen, but blessed to be here. Like I said, Texas is my favorite state. I love doing a little deer hunting out here, so I feel kind of at home.
Love it.
Well, that's good. Now, just remember, though, I know you spent some time up in Fort Worth in the Metroplex for the truck races that were up at Texas Motor Speedway. We have a little bit better barbecue down here in the Austin area. So, you know, I'm glad that you got some experience with the state of Texas, because the barbecue experience around Austin and Central Texas is a lot better than the barbecue experience up in Fort Worth. And our text line and everybody else is going to be blowing up my phone because I'm saying that we got the better barbecue down here.
I love it. Well, growing up in St. Louis and a lot of family in Kansas City, going to be tough to beat. I do love barbecue, and if you've seen the posters going around, you can tell I like to eat barbecue.
Good stuff, man. Got to ask you before we cut you loose and let you get back to work, man. Thanks for jumping on. I know testing lap time is super important and hectic, most likely. So I know one of the topics that we talk about here, because this program was derived out of a podcast, live cast, about short tracks. I know you did some time at Hickory and other short tracks. How important is this short track NASCAR connection that's been broken, it seems like, over the course of time, getting everybody back in sync again? How important is that for the sport?
Yeah, I mean, short track racing is where a lot of us kind of get our stock car start, and there's so many great racetracks. You know, living in North Carolina, Hickory is a really big track, and, you know, you see places like Myrtle Beach shut down, and it's tough to see those short track races put on a great show. We're all eager to do the best we can and kind of get our name on the map to make it to, you know, one of the top three NASCAR series. So got to see fans out at the racetrack, got to see people feeding into that short track program. And really, that's what our whole mentality is off of, you know, just hard racing, leaning on each other, driving everything you got for 100 laps. Some days I miss it.
Yeah. Yeah, I bet. I bet. Yeah, it's quite a culture shock, I bet, going over to the big three. Quite a difference. Spencer, man, appreciate the time, buddy, and looking forward to next weekend, man. We're ready to watch that number 20 truck out on the track, dude. Best wishes, and we'll come find you. Let's hook up.
Yeah, stop by. Thanks for having me on, and hook 'em horns.
Nice. There you go. Well done.
Nice.
That's going to be the most popular truck at the track right there, just for that right there. Thank you, Spencer. Appreciate it, man.
Awesome, guys. Have a good one.
You bet. Take care. Spencer Boyd, right there. He sounds ready.
Dropping the hook him at the end, though. That was good. That was smart.
That's Steve Sarkisian. That's all of that good stuff right there. Really, really good. That'll be the number 20 truck in your program. If you're looking for a favorite, good dude right there. Good dude. Check him out on the track. He will be racing Saturday. That is a noon race. That is noon. So as soon as we get done here, that race will go live. Coming up, places for races, pit stop news and notes. I don't know what else. We're all discombobulated here today, but and more Coda coverage as well. This is Revved Up ATX on the Horn. It's 104.9, 101.9 FM, streaming on the Horn app and at hornfm.com.
Dropping the green flag on racing and motorsports coverage, it's Revved Up ATX, brought to you by AMM Collision on the Horn, where Austin talks racing.
Revved Up ATX on the Horn, great conversation as NASCAR heads to Austin. Got a little race in Dover that we had to get out of the way, and then they will be heading this way, and we will lock you in. Wall-to-wall coverage. If you don't have the Horn app, download it in your app store. Go to hornfm.com. There's going to be so much content at the Horn ATX, at Revved Up ATX. Thank you so much, of course, to our presenting sponsor, AMM Collision, who I'll probably have to go see this week after my venture to the studio this morning. AMM Collision and the great folks over at Busch Light that have come aboard for all of that fantastic coverage. And we will have, from every angle, we will have it for you. Also want to remind you, the Horn is sending some lucky listeners to see the Texas Rangers take on the New York Yankees. Who doesn't want to go see the Yankees? Yankees are the Dallas Cowboys of the Major League Baseball. Good or bad, people want to see the Yankees. Got a lot of Ranger fans here as well. Check out the Horn Twitter feed. Look for the Yankees Rangers contest tweet right there. Comment which day you want to win the tickets. Winners will be drawn at random. The Twitter contest ends Sunday at midnight. More details at hornfm.com. Bobby, this has been, I want to go to Coda right now. I just want to go.
There's lots of stuff happening. They got all the banners and stuff up. Their social media feed. I kind of feel bad for Dover Because you got to think Dover is only getting one race this year, which is this race weekend, because they moved their second race weekend to Nashville Super Speedway, which although is in not in Nashville, it's about 30 miles away from Nashville. Anyway, different story for a different topic. But Dover, to me, is actually getting overlooked by the excitement of everybody coming to COTA.
Yeah, it really is. And that has the makings today and tomorrow. Has the makings for some real, especially with this aero package, with this horsepower package, and just that track in and of itself, has the makings to be some really good racing from what we've watched. I know a lot of folks that I talked to last week said, well, you know, Martin Truex pretty much took him to the woodshed on this deal, but he did. It was reminiscent of you know, the 78 car when he did that in the past, but this race had really good racing. This race had good racing. Truex just happened to lead most of the laps.
I mean, the good racing was from second on back.
Exactly.
Hey, do you still consider him an underdog now?
Like, no.
when he was in that 78 car and he was winning all those races and waxing everybody?
No.
Like, it was the
Not
underdog.
Even.
Nobody cared when he dominated and won. Now it's like he's in the Gibbs equipment. He dominates and wins. It's like, does he can still consider the underdog now? Is a lot of people still following him like that?
What I like that he's done, where I think he kind of broke the mold just a couple of different ways. One was winning a lot. He goes over to Gibbs, and I think that kind of broke that mold a little bit. But then at the same time, we see emotion out of him. You know, he gets pissed off, and he gets mad at other drivers, and his radio stuff is really good, and I think Truex is in a spot there. There's a lot of love that comes to him. He's a great race car driver, but then with his girlfriend Sherry Pollux and her battles, I mean, there's a lot of folks that like him because of that. So Truex has the best of both worlds, but right now he's the cream of the crop right now. Kyle Larson's probably right on his tail. I mean, I know folks are kind of casting those two guys as the best, but say what you want. Denny Hamlin and William Byron are just as good. They just don't have a win.
Byron's doing good with all his top tens.
Yeah, it's crazy.
He got a win at, I think, at Atlanta. No, not Atlanta. Homestead. So at least he's got the win. Denny Hamlin still had a solid year despite not having a win yet. But realistically, Kyle Larson should have a couple more wins than what he's got. How do you think Jimmy Johnson feels? This is the old 48 car that Jimmy Johnson tried to win with forever. Now Kyle Larson gets in this car, and it's just like, boom,
well,
you know?
You know, I think from the more that we see from Jimmy Johnson, I think he's genuinely happy. I think he's happy for those guys. And I know he was super excited to see the 48 car, even though it was a different team, to see the 48 car back in victory lane. So I think he's genuinely happy for Hendrick. And I think Jimmy understands and understood probably for the last 2 years when Jeff Gordon exited that he was going to be the anchor there for a little bit. And then with the stable of drivers and the folks that were in development programs, that at some point he was going to have to give that up. Because he knew that performance was slipping. 2016, when he got that last championship, yeah, that was championship number 7. But, I mean, come on. I'm not going to blow smoke up anybody's skirt. He didn't fall into that, but I'm not going to sit here and say 2016 was Jimmy Johnson's most fantastic championship ever.
No, I mean, it was part of that format, the knockout format. He won the right race at the right time, which happened to be the last race, which was the championship race.
That's exactly right. And, you know, there's rumblings. What do you think of this Carl Edwards? Carl Edwards' name keeps popping up again. I know the car's changing. A lot of folks are saying one of the reasons Carl Edwards stepped away was because of the car that came in. This is a more driver-centric car. This is going to fit the driver better. You think we're going to see Carl Edwards back in this mess again?
No, not a chance. We've got a better chance at winning the lottery than Carl Edwards coming back.
Hey, well, I'll take that chance. I will. If Carl Edwards shows up again, I'm going to go buy a lotto ticket.
No, might as well, right?
Pit Stop News and Notes, Places for Races, presented by Audiovisual Consultations. Tom McKay, 255-8678, avconsultations.com. Remember, we've got that Crank It Up Fantasy Racing League going on all season. Tom McKay is the man to call when Mike Joy and them say crank it up. If you've got a Tom McKay system, it's going to sound really, really good. 255-8678. Junior Motorsports wins their appeal. Noah Gregson was actually disqualified last week for some suspension violations that were suspected there. Also lost the $100,000 there in the Dash for Cash, as he was the top finishing of the four drivers, which he has won every one of them this year, by the way. He gets to keep his money. They get the spot back.
Hopefully, Kyle Larson didn't spend that extra $100,000 after they got it with the DQ.
Yeah, that's one of those things where you get a boatload of cash, you go out and buy yourself a brand new car, brand new boat, all of this stuff. Oh, by the way, we need that back. Yeah. We need that money back. Hopefully not the situation there. Four wide nationals coming up. We hadn't seen the four wides in a while. We saw the four wides a couple of weeks ago. We're going to see the four wides again. Should we tap the brake? What do they say on that racing show? Tap the brake a little bit on that?
Tap the grace, pump the gas.
Yeah.
I think when anytime you do something twice in a season, I think they do it three or four times because they raced at those tracks twice. I think they should have left it alone the first time when they only had the one four wide track. But I mean, what do I know, right? We're just pundits on a radio show.
Mm-hmm.
But I think because it oversaturates the market, that's when you have the races that are just more just mundane than they are. So I mean, I'll be excited when they get ready to come to Houston here soon.
Yeah. No doubt. Next week. Actually, you want to talk about Texas being the capital of stuff over at Houston Raceway, you're going to have the NHRA out there as well. So just when we think that COVID is you know, not as bad as we have seen, we see Justin Haley, a cup winner as well, driving for Spire Motorsports, the 77 car. Well, he's going to miss this weekend miss both races with some COVID-related stuff, and that's going to allow our man Josh Berry, late model stock star, and now winner in the Xfinity Series, to jump into the 77 car. So another opportunity. Josh Berry goes out and stuns him. Well, not that he would win, but Josh Berry goes out and knocks himself out a top 15 finish. Then that's really going to get to people and say, look, this dude is really a natural talent. Somebody needs to get him some money and get him in a real ride.
Yeah, no, he's definitely got the talent. He's proved with the JR Motorsports team that he's got the talent and the ability to have a full-time ride at least the Xfinity Series, if not, you know, a mid-tier cup team.
Yeah. Lewis Hamilton looked like the Lewis Hamilton of old as he will wins at Barcelona. And lastly, one of our favorites, Ty Majeski, friend of the show as well. He will be in a ThorSport truck, I think a fifth truck for them, at Charlotte and Nashville coming up. So a great opportunity there for Ty Majeski. Places for races, my friend. Busy weekend. Busy, busy, busy.
Another busy weekend we got. Kicking off here basically right after we get done on the show, the Xfinity Series race from Dover. Pre-race starts at high noon, and then the race itself starts at 12:30. That race is on FS1. A little after that, then you have the IndyCar race at the IMS Road Course, the AMR Grand Prix. That's at 1:30 on NBC Network TV, locally here on KXAN 36. Pre-race starts at 1 o'clock. Right after that, following up on that, the 146 Preakness Stakes. The coverage goes from 4 p.m. to 6:15 p.m. I'm going to guess the gate probably closer to 6 as well on NBC. But Dina Spirit, by the way, is racing in that race.
The horse that failed Tech.
The horse that failed Tech. The aforementioned NHRA qualifying for the Four Wide Nationals. That coverage is going to be on tape delay from 6 to 7:30 p.m. on FS1. Tomorrow, you got the Cup Series race from Dover, 1 p.m. on FS1. Pre-race, 11:30 to 1 p.m. IMSA's back. They race on NBCSN, 1:30 to 4:30. MotoGP at France, 4:30 to 6 on NBCSN. And then the four-wide NHRA coverage nationals, 5 p.m., 8 p.m., FS1 on Sunday night. Lots of racing action in places for races.
Medina Spirit was running nitrous at the Kentucky Derby. Or was he? NASCARCODA.com/fans for all of your parking information, all of that. Again, thank you, AMM Collision and Busch Light. We will wall-to-wall NASCAR's debut in Austin coming up. Going to be a great week. It's Revved Up ATX on the horn. Give us a follow on Twitter at the Horn ATX, at Revved Up ATX. We'll see you next week. It's race week, everybody.